News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton. Clearing skies. Doesn't look like the sky's in a rush to get real clear right away, but clouds are going to break up a little bit, and we'll be nice and cool today after, what a weekend. 65 the high for Saturday, then yesterday, 77 degrees.
Yeah.
And muggy, and we were waiting on some storms that, for us in Mobile, really never made it this way.
Yeah, you know, I try to save up all of the work that I have in the attic of the house for this time of year when it's, you know, not as hot. Normally.
Yesterday,
I got up there and, started sweating. You know, I probably should have got up there in the morning or in the afternoon.
Vicky and the kids could have found your body up there.
Yeah.
Well, Dalton's gone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, 77, a little too hot even for attic work.
No kidding.
Crazy.
You might as well have waited for the first heat wave of the spring to get up there.
A lot to get into this hour. First, a text about something we discussed at the very end of the last hour regarding the trans swimmer from Pennsylvania. University of Pennsylvania, that has just been dominant, a male to female, who competed on the Penn team for 3 years.
So how did they do this? By the way, how did they come up with this winner-take-all match between
the two trans?
Her and it.
Right. Great question. So
because
Yale.
Because the Yale is a transition from female to male.
Correct.
So he should not be going against the Penn swimmer.
Male to female.
Yeah.
So here's the deal,
okay,
as best as I can explain it.
And I am concentrating very hard.
Right. So the male to female swimmer at Penn has been undergoing hormone treatments, and after a certain point they will allow the former male to compete against women, which is exactly what this Leah Thomas has been doing and dominating. Meanwhile, at Yale, they had a female-to-male trans swimmer who was transitioning who had not yet begun hormone treatment, so she still allowed to compete with the females and ended up beating the trans male-to-female from Penn. It's all very confusing. And Supermom texted, quick question regarding these trans swimmers. Isn't your DNA your DNA? You can't change your DNA, correct? Those born male will always be male, and likewise for females, regardless of life-altering surgeries. Is my brain too simple? I don't think so. I think it's all very, very confusing, and everyone has their own rules, especially in the Ivy League, apparently.
I'm about to say something that probably is not going to be...
Might get you kicked off the air.
Close to politically correct. I don't know. So the male to female... Now...
Leah Thomas, yes.
Female athletes understand what I'm about to do is called a joke.
Okay.
So the male to female... lost
to the female to male.
So when he was a male, he could take his losses in stride. But when he lost as a female, he was like, or she was inconsolable and crying like a little girl?
Yeah.
That's what I'm wondering. Emotionally, do you now change where you're more susceptible to...
That's a great... I'm sure, yeah.
How did she react to losing, and is it the same way... He would have reacted to
it. I'm sure it was incredibly emotional.
I'm sure.
And you can imagine the crowd was probably going, what the hell just happened?
You could.
Where am I and who am I?
No kidding. I could see this story or be at those swim meets, which I would not want to be at those swim meets.
Huh?
And I would and I would be the same. I would leave. I would watch the whole thing. I would leave and I would say that exact same thing. What did I just see? What's going on here?
It's never been more apparent. Even though we're all more connected now than ever because of the internet, it's never been more apparent how different parts of the United States are. And you mentioned it earlier, weather-wise in Vermont, they're going to have a high of 3 degrees tomorrow where you have family. I mean, and we just had a 77-degree day down here yesterday. And then you look in sports, and in the Ivy League, they have trans swimmers beating other trans swimmers. Down here in the South, we have two teams getting ready to play in the football championship tonight. So a bit of a different world for a lot of these folks.
I got to say, in defense of that part of the world, I don't think that everybody's, you know, this is a...
Not everyone's on board.
This is just as much of a, like a strange kicker story in a lot of the Northeast as it is here. It's just like people aren't quite sure what to make of it, to be honest with you.
I don't either.
You know, so anyway.
It's very confusing, but very funny also if you kind of just take a step back and look at it a little bit. Here. You know what would be funny if it weren't so important right now? The Supreme Court on Friday hearing vaccine mandates. And Dan, you had a story from this weekend, and this is, you called it regarding this new variant. You said the issue here won't necessarily be deaths or hospitalizations as much as just employment and folks having to take off work, even if they aren't necessarily sick,
yeah.
But if they test positive, and you had a stat or someone predicting 5 million.
So I'm wondering who this guy is that came up with this. It's a staggering number, right? But 5 million Americans will probably sit out of work in the next week or 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how long, but they'll be off. And of course, we've had how many days in a row with over 1,000 flights canceled?
We're going on 2 weeks now.
Okay,
14 days, I think.
That used to be a very rare event.
Mm-hmm.
And usually, almost all the time, I think it was weather related, right? You would have all these flights are delayed because of a winter storm that came through, or a storm that thunderstorms that just kind of paralyzed airports. It was always weather related. Did we ever have delayed flights for other reasons?
Not really.
Not that I can remember.
No.
So over 1,000 flight delays, or cancellations, I should make that clear. And all COVID related, all health related.
And it began Christmas Eve and still stretches
yep.
to now.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, great job by you to call that would happen. So that's the big issue now, is keeping folks working. And if you went out to, well, basically any restaurant, I know I went out a couple times this weekend, once to pick up food and once to sit somewhere and eat. And both places affected.
Really?
They seemed to have limited numbers of employees running around. And it took a little longer to get the food. But I think we're experiencing it here as well. And so 5 million to miss work is a huge deal.
It is.
But the CDC was out yesterday, the leader of the CDC, Rochelle Walensky, the director, and she hit two Sunday shows at least, one on CNN and one on Fox News with Bret Baier. First, let me play this one for you. As she was on CNN with Wolf Blitzer, and basically saying the same thing now that got plenty of people suspended and banned from social media sites for saying the same thing months ago. Listen to the CDC director yesterday, kind of in the middle of this big shift by the Biden administration.
Our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. They prevent it. But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. So if you're going home to somebody who has not been vaccinated, to somebody who can't get vaccinated, somebody who might be immunosuppressed or a little bit frail, somebody who has comorbidities that put them at high risk, I would suggest you wear a mask in public indoor settings.
So one of the first admissions there from the feds that the vaccine isn't stopping the transmission mm-hmm. of cases here. You know, that was verboten to say for the longest time.
True.
And she also visited with Fox News on Fox News Sunday and Bret Baier. And something you discussed there, they've in New York started classifying COVID cases in hospitals, hospitalizations, whether you were hospitalized because of COVID or you were hospitalized and then tested positive.
And you happen to have COVID, right?
Exactly. And that's something that listeners to this station have been saying for 2 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And Bret Baier asked the same of Walensky. He said, hey, if there have been 836,000 deaths linked to COVID, how many of those are from COVID and how many are with? And Walensky really didn't have an answer
for. Do you know how many of the 836,000 deaths in the U.S. linked to COVID are from COVID, or how many are with COVID but they had other comorbidities? Do you have that breakdown?
Yes, of course. With Omicron, we're following that very carefully. Our death registry, of course, takes a few weeks to collect. And of course, Omicron has just been with us for a few weeks, but those data will be forthcoming.
So she, you know, kind of bought some time there and really didn't have an answer for Bret Baier. But as you see this major shift being made from the Biden administration, where they're encouraging Americans to just live with the virus, they weren't saying that even 3 weeks ago, leading into Christmas. That's when the big shift came, was over the Christmas holidays. And
you know, when you say you're in a relationship with somebody, I'm not calling anybody out here, and that person is not known to apologize. They just kind of, maybe they make you some pancakes in the morning.
But never say sorry.
Doesn't it feel a little bit like that's what the government did? But wait a minute, you just said what now? Not even a blink, not even an acknowledgement that we were so wrong. We may have been more wrong. Not any sort of admittance that we are changing the way. Like, come out and say, we're about to change our policy, and you're not going to believe this.
Yeah.
None of that.
There's been zero acknowledgement that that anything they've done to this point has been wrong. And it's obvious the intent here, going into the midterm elections, that Democrats would kind of like to move on and not be blamed for the new records being set for number of people testing positive. But where this gets really difficult is to see the stupidity of even Supreme Court justices. And that's what was on display on Friday as the Supreme Court heard arguments about whether to allow Joe Biden's vaccine mandate to be enacted. When we come back from the break, if you didn't pay attention on Friday, you won't believe some of the things that the liberal Supreme Court justices believe and said about the virus that are just so off base. You wonder if they've been paying any attention at all these last few months.
They're behind the administration.
Way behind.
It's 17 minutes after 8 o'clock. Dan and Dalton, feel free to give a call. 251-343-0106. I didn't want to give out my personal number again. That'd be twice in 20 minutes. 818. Morning from Dan, Brent, and Dalton. Orwell, Gate 22. FM Talk 106.5. Monday morning. And the show is Mobile Mornings. 251-343-0106. Let's go to the phone lines. And Dave is in Foley. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan.
How are you?
Oh, I'm wonderful. Did you just prove that our government loves us?
Okay.
Because love means never having to say you're sorry.
Yep-er. Our government does love us. It was just, am I crazy or did they transition from here's the plan to here's plan B without making the announcement that plan B was replacing plan A?
Yeah, I'm not sure it's in a conventional way, though.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Dan.
Government does love. That's a hopeful message right there.
And they love our money, that's for sure.
A hopeful message as we head into the new year.
A new term that's been thrown around a lot lately, especially after a Joe Rogan podcast at the end of the year. Dr. Robert Malone was on with Joe Rogan, mm-hmm. and he is known for helping to develop this mRNA technology that's found in these vaccines. And he said this term, mass formation psychosis, that a major part of the nation has basically been hypnotized into believing false information about COVID-19.
Such as masks.
Okay. And vaccinations and things of that nature. And that term became much more popular after Malone was on with Rogan on December 31st. And YouTube has removed that video along with some others here. And then there was a big rush in the media this weekend to put out stuff saying that mass formation psychosis is not real, which is kind of ironic that they're all coming out and saying, don't believe what you were just told.
Yeah, they're doing like more psychosis on us.
Exactly, rehypnotizing.
Yeah.
And that's why on the text line, Paul said the Supreme Court justices are mass formationed also, which it's not impossible to believe if you watched any of the Supreme Court deliberations on Friday.
So, was it Justice Breyer?
Breyer said some things that were unbelievable, but it was really Justice Sonia Sotomayor,
okay,
who was the most off base. Now, Stephen Breyer, Alina Kagan, and Sotomayor all made claims during oral arguments Friday that could have been classified as incorrect, ignorant, misinformed, or hysterically exaggerated. So let's go through some of these. Sotomayor, who, by the way, was taking part in all of this remotely. She was the only justice to not be on the bench for these arguments, and she was by far the worst offender of factual information on Friday. At one point, she said that implementing the vaccine mandate for businesses is necessary because, quote, Omicron is as deadly as Delta. We have hospitals that are almost at full capacity with people severely ill on ventilators. That's one thing that Justice Sotomayor said. And get this, she said, we have over 100,000 children, which we've never had before, in serious condition, and many on ventilators. We're talking about a Supreme Court justice right now who said we have over 100,000 children in serious condition with COVID right now, which is about as far from the case as possible.
Yeah, I know that there is something to Omicron and kids getting it. And of course, kids, what, 5 and younger, even if you wanted them to be vaccinated, they're not eligible for the vaccination yet, right?
Correct.
So there is some of that. I think that she's painting a darker picture than the facts would say.
Much darker and completely inaccurate as well. She contradicted experts who say that Omicron is less severe than Delta. So according to the Department of Health and Human Services, remember, Sotomayor said over 100,000 children in serious condition. Right now, there are 3,000 confirmed pediatric hospitalizations across the entire nation.
Okay.
It's a bit further away from $100,000. She also, Sotomayor, at one point in the argument said, I'm not sure I understand the distinction why the states would have the power, but the federal government wouldn't. We're talking about a Supreme... So
she doesn't seem to have a real grasp on the whole situation here as far as states' rights and on.
The more and more you learn about some of these people in important positions, I mean, I always assumed that the Supreme Court justices were the brightest minds we had. And Friday shows you that more than ever, they're a bunch of partisan hacks that are up there with some very, very important decisions mm-hmm. for the direction of the nation. Liz Mayer is a Republican political consultant who went after Sotomayor. She said, read the Commerce Clause in the 10th Amendment, lady. The amendment states that powers not delegated to the U.S. by the Constitution nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. Some other things that Sotomayor said, she asked why OSHA could not consider a person infected with COVID to pose the same danger to colleagues as a machine emitting sparks. She compared humans to machines, and the way that machines emit sparks is dangerous. That
so OSHA would be involved. You've got to get that machine out of there.
Yeah, that's another thing Sotomayor said. I had some good ones. So Kagan said that workers have to get vaccinated so that you're not transmitting the disease that can kill elderly Medicare patients, sick Medicaid patients. She said, I mean, that seems like a pretty basic infection prevention measure, completely discounting the fact that most of the people testing positive now are vaccinated, and that the CDC said yesterday that vaccinated people can spread the disease just like unvaccinated people. Again, Supreme Court justice is completely not acknowledging that in any fashion. I know Breyer said something too.
Not knowing the facts.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Just all three, Meyer, Kagan, and Sotomayor, were so off base with some of the things they said. And again, this they will decide whether the Biden vaccine mandates go into effect. Now, there are 6 conservative-leaning justices on the court. You can argue whether Roberts is conservative or not. That argument will continue.
Roberts probably has a better understanding of the facts.
You would think so, but you know, I wouldn't say that anything is a sure thing at this point. It's just outstanding to me how off base they were when you expect, if anyone would be knowledgeable on the subject, that it would be the Supreme Court.
It was like a conversation with a third grader.
Yeah.
Like, have you been paying attention to the news? A little bit. All right, well, what's your opinion about this? Well, wrong.
Yeah.
You know, I would excuse anybody who's 9 years old and in third grade. Supreme Court justice, not so quick. So we had on the text line talking about the combination of the flu and
COVID.
And he said, man, Dan, what's next? Well, glad you asked.
You have something?
We have something.
No, no.
The old what's next? They found it in Cyprus. That's on the way on FM Talk 106.5 with Dan and Dalton and Mobile Mornings.
FM Talk 106.5, Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Right now, time to head over to McConnell Automotive, where we talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing all right. We're looking forward to the national championship game tonight. I know you are at McConnell as well, but something else we're looking forward to is making it over to the lot. How are those trade-ins looking?
Well, trade-ins are great, but I'm sitting here looking. It looks like we had a little delivery over the weekend. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Yukons in. Now, don't know, a couple of them are XLs. Don't know if any of them are sold, but if you're looking for that bad 22 Yukon, give us a call, 251-476-4141. We'll find out which ones are sold, which ones aren't, and Got a few new trucks out there. If you're looking for that X31 four-wheel drive, we're getting a few of those in, getting a few two-wheel drives in. Used cars are looking good. Don't forget Gene's buying cars every day. Call him, 251-476-4141. Give him the VIN or a little description of the car. He'll give you a price right on the phone. Hope we can do a deal. Like I said, Gene is buying cars.
Yes, he is. And it's very easy to pick up that phone and call that number or go online, McConnellAutomotive.com. We appreciate your time this morning, Louie.
Thank you.
That's Louie Arata. You'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dauphin Street, just east of I-65.
Morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Okay, so there's the combination of the flu and Omicron, right?
Flu-rona, they called it, yeah.
Flu-rona. All right. So the question was posed to us on the text line, hey, man, what's next? I think we may have found it. Scientists in Europe believe they have found a new strain of COVID-19 infections made up of both the Delta and Omicron variants.
Hmm.
So, you know, when I got the flu, when I got the Omicron, when I got COVID and it was confirmed to me that it was Omicron, I guess they can tell the difference. I've been seeing that.
I think most tests can't. You're the only person I've heard that knew or was told which variant you've received.
That might have been that might have been just an assumption on their part because they're seeing it everywhere. So anyway, actually, it made me feel better that I wasn't, you know, didn't get the
Delta.
Yeah, the more extreme strain it would seem would be Delta. Anyway, a professor of biological sciences at the University of Cyprus and head of the Laboratory of Biotechnology and Molecular Virology says that the strain dubbed Deltacron, there you go, is a co-infection of the Delta and Omicron variants. This was reported by Bloomberg on Saturday. The professor describes Deltacron as having Delta's genetic background with some of Omicron's mutations. Not a bunch of, 25 samples of Deltacron have been found in Cyprus. That's an island nation, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's
hope it stays that way.
Now it's time for the travel ban. Sorry, people from Cyprus.
Yeah.
I don't know what I call you. Cyprusites, stay where the heck you are. Anyway, 11 of which were from patients already hospitalized with COVID-19. 14 were from individuals. I didn't quite finish the sentence there. These samples have been submitted to a certain group, an international database that tracks viruses and variant strains of COVID-19. And in any event, so now you've got this. You have got
Deltacron.
Deltacron is here. Deal with it.
So I know some people tried to tell that guy. They're like, no, you must have dirty lab equipment or something. They basically said his study wasn't up to snuff. And he said, no, it's real Deltacron. But what you are seeing is a concerted effort by many to just find the most outlandish headline possible, right? Whether it's Flu-Rona or Deltacron. Obviously, that would be not good news of Delta. If you had the sickness of Delta but the transmissibility of Omicron, that would be bad news. But, you know, how many people are going to test positive with this Omicron variant? It seems like most people, if you hadn't caught it before, it's coming for you now.
It does, almost a certainty. Like, if you haven't had any of this in any form at this point, and I'm not just saying that because, you know, suddenly I was positive on Christmas Eve morning, which allowed me to stay isolated for the most wonderful time of the year.
Yeah.
Couldn't go anywhere.
Fun times.
Yeah, fun times.
Texter says, how many people do you hope will die because of your continued vaccine misinformation this year? I texted back, what misinformation? Haven't gotten a response. I would love to hear, you know, what misinformation I put out there.
Well,
you know, Dan and I have been saying, if you want to get vaccinated, get vaccinated.
Yeah.
And the stats show that, well, according to the stats they've been putting out there, that vaccinated have an easier time with any variant than those that are unvaccinated. At the same time, they're transmitting the virus. So the same thing we've been saying now for weeks, the CDC finally admitted to yesterday. So
And I don't have numbers. Well, I've got numbers till we're dizzy and blind. We've been looking at numbers the whole time. But just a quick thought on this. Just I was vaccinated plus the booster, got the Omicron, I guess is what I got, and did pretty, did well with it, right?
Yep. And I gave you an A+.
A friend of mine, not vaccinated, really
had a tough time.
Really had a tough time, and is still having a tough time. So all I'm saying is they're telling us one thing. I've seen evidence of that in a very micro way. I don't know where the misinformation is coming from, unless you're among those that believe that the vaccine is killing people.
Mm-hmm.
And
which, so, you know, there have been people who have died from the vaccine.
But what are the numbers?
Right. I think the VAERS database, someone can correct me, which there's a big discussion of how accurate that database is, but I think they said somewhere 17,000, something like that. People that have had serious issues with the vaccine itself. I'm sure all of that information will come out at some point. I'm not sure when or how we'll find out how accurate the VAERS database is, but it's, you know, it's something that's at least worth thinking about before you go and get vaccinated. I did want to say you had a story earlier, and I want to give another special shout out to Major General Janet Cobb with the Battleship Memorial
yes.
Park. She won Alabama's Tourism Executive of the Year for 2021. Looked like she received the award recently. I'm not sure when they had that banquet. I guess it was last week. But Major General Cobb has been running Battleship Memorial Park since late 2015. That's a fantastic honor for her.
It really is. All right, so Chad Petrie joined us earlier today because there were a couple of local stories that really got a lot of attention. Chad talks about them, one of them being the Fairhope woman who was missing and then found murdered.
Right. This came down very early Saturday morning. Mobile police announcing that they had arrested two people connected to the death of Tammy Wedgeworth. Now, I should say that only one of these two suspects has been charged with murder. 33-year-old Kenneth Colburn was arrested. He was charged with murder and fraudulent use of a credit card. Then you have 35-year-old Amanda Miller, also arrested in this case, but she was only charged with fraudulent use of a credit card. Now, here, how this kind of went down, at least as far as we know, and this is, again, just a very scant amount of information. Miss Wedgeworth apparently went missing or was last seen late New Year's Day evening at 9 p.m., left her home in Fairhope, heading to Mobile, was driving a Ford F-150 pickup truck, and was heading to Mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the last time anybody saw her. Now, Fairhope police say she was reported missing a few days later, and they made an appeal on their Facebook page on January 6th with her picture, asking anybody if they had any information to contact them. Now, what we didn't know at the time, and we know now, is that apparently Fairhope police also reached out to Mobile police for assistance in this investigation. Now, at some point, they say they determined that these two suspects had gotten a hold of Wedgeworth's credit card and used it for credit card fraud, allegedly. And those two were arrested and booked into Mobile County Jail before dawn Saturday morning. Now, one of the big questions out of this case really is, what, if any, connection does Tammy Wedgeworth have to these two, or was this a random crime?
Right. And one of the arrests, the male, Kenneth Colburn, charged with murder already, so they must have a pretty good idea of his involvement.
Right. We don't have a narrative on exactly what police have believe happened in this case. We may learn more about that this week. They should probably have a bond hearing today, if not today, this week, and an arraignment as well.
And then a nearly deadly party overnight Saturday into Sunday morning in Theodore. Three people were shot and police were on the scene.
Yeah, this happened on Dan Williams Road in Theodore. About 1:30 Sunday morning, Mobile police saying that somebody opened fire at a party and that three people were hit by gunfire. Now, what makes this story a little bit unusual is that it appears that the victims in this case just scattered and ran for help. One person drove to a nearby fire station, got aid there, and then was taken by ambulance to the hospital. A second victim drove to a nearby gas station, probably about a mile away, was asking for help and got an ambulance and was taken to the hospital. The third victim, a woman, was taken by private vehicle straight to University Hospital. Now, two out of the three victims in this case received what are described as non-life-threatening injuries, so they believe those two will recover. They said that one man who was shot received life-threatening injuries. We don't know the status of that victim at this point. We also have been told that this is an active investigation. So generally for Mobile police, that means that this is an investigation where they have not made any arrests at this point.
That is a term we've heard a lot of in the last year or two. It is an active investigation.
Yeah.
And so there you go from the weekend, a couple of stories that were really big at WKRG.com. Thank you to Chad Petrie for being part of what we did here this morning on Mobile Mornings.
Yeah, coming up on the Jeff Poor Show today, he'll have Rob Hulbert with Lanyap on in the first hour. Hour number two, we'll hear from Dale Jackson with WVNN. And then in the third hour, Jeff's set to talk with David Mowry, a political consultant, and former State Senator Dick Brubaker. So that's coming up in the Jeff Poor Show. Also, I would encourage you to text us your prediction for tonight's game, 251-343-0106. Coming up in the next segment, Brian Comer with Tobias McCormick and Comer joins.
All on the way, Dan and Dalton, Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5 at 8:46.
Welcome back to FM Talk 106.5 in Mobile Mornings, and a pleasure once again to be joined by Brian Comer with the local law firm Tobias McCormick and Comer in studio this morning. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Dalton. Thanks for having me.
Let's talk a little bit about driving under the influence, and I know you've worked so many cases involving driving under the influence there at Tobias McCormick and Comer. Talk a little bit about, you know, first off, how to avoid that, and then a little bit later we'll get into what happens if you've been harmed by someone driving under the influence.
Yeah, and unfortunately, every case that we've worked on that's involved a DUI, whether it be from drugs or alcohol, is too many. It's such a simple thing to fix to prevent from happening in the first place, particularly today when you can get on your phone and within 30 seconds you've got an Uber or a Lyft, or even we still have cabs running here in Mobile. There's really just no excuse for getting behind the wheel, because it's not just yourself who you're putting in harm's way, or God forbid, somebody that you have in the car with you, but it's the innocent people that you encounter on the road. It's the family coming back from church that night, or from wherever, family dinner night or whatever, and you're taking an unnecessary risk that has deadly consequences. And, you know, I could go on and on about the different stories that we've seen, but, you know, I wish I could say that they were all at late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, 2 a.m, but they've been at 5 o'clock in the afternoon on a Tuesday, or at 8:30 p.m. in Mobile on a Monday night.
Right.
You know, they come in all shapes and sizes. I even had one at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, where a guy took drugs and caused a head on collision. And so, you know, nobody's immune from this, and so everybody has to take personal responsibility, make the right choice, and prevent this from happening.
And you said it right there. Nobody is immune from this. Whenever I see a story about a DUI, and I'm like, I can't believe that person was on the road. Why would they do that? But I imagine the people that do that never thought they would be in that situation. Sure. I think some people don't even realize how under the influence they are when they get out there.
Well, that's true. Or, you know, and then you even hear some of these ridiculous statements like, oh, I drive better buzzed or whatever. No, you don't. You know, you're more relaxed when you are. But one thing that I've learned since becoming an attorney and handling cases like this is we have perception and reaction time. And it usually takes us about a second and a half to see something and then to react to it, right? So if you're going down the at highway speeds at 60 miles an hour, it's going to take you over a football field to stop your car. Well, that's it, the normal perception and reaction time. Now add alcohol into the mix, add drugs into the mix. It depresses your central nervous system. It causes you to take more time to do things, and it's just dangerous, and people shouldn't do it.
And study after study has shown that exactly about the reaction time. And a lot of time, and I'm guilty of this as well, you see DUI, you assume someone was driving under the influence of alcohol,
right?
But with the widespread availability of drugs, I imagine a lot of people think they're just taking the medicine their doctor gave them before they get out on the road, and that can be really dangerous.
Yeah, absolutely. And even, you know, with the opioid crisis that we have going on right now, it says it on the side of the bottle: do not drive while operate vehicle or heavy machinery while you're under the use of this medication. And that's the same reason, you know, and whether it be some illegal drug like, you know, marijuana or heroin or something that your doctor prescribed, if it's going to impair your ability to think clearly and to react, you shouldn't take it and then get behind the wheel of a car.
And I like what you said earlier. I mean, we are we are in a new age here, and there are so many options out there. You know, it used to be you just had to take a designated driver along with you. Now, you can just pick up your phone and a designated driver who's paid to come and pick you up and take you home will be on the way in minutes.
Absolutely. And of course, there's you still have to be smart with that, too. You hear stories, you see something in the paper about somebody getting in a car and they think it's an Uber. You still want to verify, make sure that it's the car that you're supposed to be getting into so that something bad doesn't happen. But yeah, I mean, these modern conveniences that we have, there's no longer, you know, you having to rely on two cabs, like two actual cars in the entire city now. Yeah. There's, you know, an entire network of people willing to drive you home.
All right, let's talk about something that's always difficult to talk about, and that's the other side of this. When someone has been harmed or someone they know has been harmed by someone driving under the influence, what should someone do if that happens to them or someone they know? What would you tell them to do, you know, step A, B, and C?
Sure. So, I mean, obviously you want to contact an attorney as soon as possible. Again, these are cases that we take. You want to make sure that you're calling somebody who actually knows what they're doing, who's going to do the necessary groundwork to collect all the facts, see what all's out there. But then not only that, to do the things that we know how to do to make sure that you obtain the maximum result that you can get. Because there's all sorts of things that apply that people might not even think about. Well, it's not just the person who caused the wreck whose liability insurance is at play. It might be that your insurance kicks in, and that's something called uninsured motorist coverage. And I believe you may have talked with my partner, Desi Tobias, about that.
Right.
Or if the person who caused the wreck was overserved at a bar or a restaurant, then there are other things that can be done. There's laws out there to prevent the overserving of people. And so there's just, you want to make sure that you're hiring somebody who's experienced, who goes to court, who understands the law, and then can maximize the recovery by knowing what to do and how to do it. And so that's why I would recommend calling somebody like us who's experienced and who's handled cases like this.
While we're talking about liability, and, you know, there's say you're hosting a party, and I know there's a difference, right, in whether you're a licensed establishment that's serving drinks or whether you're someone who's hosting, say, a staff Christmas party or something like that. What tips would you give someone if they were hosting a party?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, if you're hosting a party, you still want to be smart, okay? So you still want to make sure if you're the person who's actually serving the alcohol, don't serve somebody who's been overserved, okay? I mean, obviously, if you take steps to make sure that, you know, nobody's bringing in something or doing something they're not supposed to be doing, you know, at your house or something, taking illegal drugs or whatever, keeping that kind of thing from happening. But the main thing is just be smart. And then if somebody is overserved and somebody has had too much to drink, either take their keys and make them stay for the night. Drive them home. If you're sober, drive them home yourself, or you line up an Uber or a cab for them. I mean, there's just things that you can do to be a smart, responsible person to make sure that everybody's safe.
Those are some great points you've laid out there, and all kinds of incredible information. This has come from years and years of experience working cases like this. If someone wants to reach out, find out more information about Tobias McCormick and Comer, or even call for a free consultation, how can they do that?
Sure. They can find us on the web. Our website's tmclawyers.com, or they can call for a consultation, 251-432-5001. And once you make an appointment, you're going to get either my partners, Desi or Jason or me, sitting down across from you.
And y'all are local, right?
We are. We're right here in Mobile and been here ever since we first started.
Good stuff. Well, I always enjoy when you come in, Brian, and really appreciate you taking your time out to come see us this morning.
Likewise. Thanks for having me, Dalton.
All right.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services above.